Thank your friends at United Group Insurance for bringing you this Country Sunshine Listening Area Forecast. United Group, Red Oak, Shenandoah, Griswold, and Atlantic.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's now 18 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, and I am joined by not Dr. Margaret Brady this morning, but we are visited this morning by Zeller Torres. Zeller, how are you?
Doing good.
Let's try that again.
Oh.
There we go. Get the right one. There we go. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
So tell me what you've been up to.
Just doing our normal work at the mill and the few houses we've been working on. Past week, we did a clean out on a house in Shenandoah, so that was good. But back to work.
There you go. Staying busy. Dr. Brady keeps a lot of things going, doesn't she?
Always busy. Absolutely.
And we have with us Preston Taylor. We visited with Pierre Taylor. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
You're staying busy as well.
Yes, sir.
All right. And Preston Lawson with me this morning. Preston, pull that mic up a little bit closer. How are you, Preston?
I'm good.
Nice to see you. Our first opportunity to get to meet.
Right.
So, and people might think, Preston, think Law Dogs card show.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about cards.
Yep.
The millcade, mm-hmm. This is something, how many of you had? One or two?
This would be the second one.
Okay. First one went really well.
Yeah.
Why are we doing a card show?
Well, I think it's definitely a need in our area. We don't have any local card shows around. You know, closest thing is Omaha, Council Bluffs, you can drive up there if you want to, but we'd like to bring something a little closer to home, you know.
Yeah, so. That's what we're doing.
Yep.
And you have a lot of, when we say cards, people my age think baseball cards,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much more than that at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yep.
So how did you get, let's start Zeller. How did you get into it, Zeller?
I started about 30 years ago when I was a kid. We would go get some of the, you know, at the time, I think they were about $2 packs from Walmart or so. And I still have a lot of my collection from when I was a little kid, but it's brought me to today when I'm collecting several $1,000 cards instead of, you know, $10 cards.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You guys brought cards with you.
Oh yeah.
Right. So, how did you get into cards, Preston? What started it for you?
So when I was a little kid, I collected a little bit, then I stopped for a while, but then I moved to Bedford, and there was a guy that used to do card shows all the time.
Uh-huh.
So he asked me if I wanted to start doing them, so I bought his Pokemon collection to start out with, and it's stuck ever since.
So you here we go, right?
Right.
And so tell me, so Preston Lawson,
right?
And you have the Law Dogs Card and Memorabilia Show. What's the Law Dog?
Law is for like Lawson, short.
Uh-huh.
And dogs. I'm from Bedford, so
okay.
Like Bedford Bulldogs.
We're going to talk cards here in just a minute. So, Pierre, how about you? What was it that started it for you?
I first started in the late 90s. I would mow yards and do little chores, and I would just go buy random packs. And I would collect the cool inserts from the 90s because they look really cool to me. I don't really care what they cost, but... And then usually I just put them wherever I could in my binder, my trapper keeper, you know, some of those. I'm kind of dating myself
I know exactly what you're talking about when you talk about trapper keeper. So there you go. These guys probably don't, right?
Maybe not.
So when did it become – do you have a preference, meaning Pokemon, WNBA, NBA, baseball?
So I think everybody's got their specialty, you know what I'm saying? So – I do One Piece, Pokemon, some of the TCG stuff. I don't do sports cards, but the other guys definitely do a lot more sports than I do. But
so that's just kind of a matter of interest, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be whatever.
Yep.
You could collect them all, I suppose. Okay, you mentioned your – what is the card we have here, Zeller?
So this is actually the card that I brought you before. It was about a
You mind if I touch it?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. It's in a case. It's protected. But
yeah.
It was about a $700 card last time I was here.
Yeah.
It's jumped up to about an $1,800 card now.
Say what?
So that card right
kidding?
There. Yep.
What was it that propelled it? I mean, more than doubled in value.
Well, they kind of go up and down. You know, a lot of the One Piece stuff has skyrocketed lately, and some people say it's market manipulation by certain people, and... You know, it's hard to say, but, you know, I can safely say that's about $1,800 because the last 5-6 sales this month on eBay were about, you know, $1,800 to $2,000 for it.
Wow. So. You like to see that, don't you?
Yeah, it's great. That's why it's still in my case and in my collection.
That is your
gonna go up more.
Most valuable card then.
That is one of the most valuable. Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Top one.
And tell them how, where you pulled it from.
Yep. That's straight from a Walmart $5 pack that I pulled myself, and then Pierre sent it off to be graded. It graded 10 out of 10. So it, you know, couldn't be happier with that kind of return on that.
So it's just kind of just random. See, here's the problem. I would look at that and I would not know what I was looking for.
Exactly.
I would say, I don't know if that's valuable or not. Right. I have no idea.
It's one thing for sports cards, you know, you can kind of identify the names, you know, you search for a Michael Jordan rookie card, you know, you search for Caitlin Clark, but when it comes to TCG, it's, you know, it's really about the artwork and how limited the copy is, and that's what that is. You know, there's about 400 of them graded in the world, so there's not very many of them.
Did you know right when you opened it that this was special?
Yep. It's the chase card from that set, so yeah. It was definitely, as soon as we opened the pack, Pierre was with me when we opened it. It was.
Did you guys like high five?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean,
threw it on the table and we were running around the room, you know.
I don't know how many of those hits are in a case, but.
It's not very many.
There's 144 packs in a case. And what did you open, like 50 packs or something?
About 30, probably. About 30, yeah.
And so he got lucky on that. Although he didn't have to open up all 144 to get that case
hit. Just
to get
that one card.
But it's awesome when it does.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. So, what? So, Preston, tell me what. You brought a card as well. Now, you, again, kind of started this whole card show memorabilia show.
Right.
So, obviously, an area. What do you have there?
I have a Pokemon card, a Mega Gengar. Come from the brand new set that's out.
Mega Gengar. What's the value of that?
It's about $100.
See, again... I don't know because I just that's amazing. Well, there you go. Do you always do Pokemon?
No, about a month or two ago, I bought a pack of football cards and pulled a dual downtown Jalen Hurts, and it's worth about $1,500.
No way! You didn't bring that one with you.
No, I forgot that one at home.
What's the most valuable card that you've dealt with, like, you know, either buying and trading and selling or that you have?
It'd be probably that one first, then I've had some pretty expensive Charizards.
Oh, wow.
Which is a Pokemon card.
Okay. Always are Pokemon cards more valuable?
Depends on the people.
Yeah, it depends on the people, depends on the cards. And, you know, Charizard, that's a big name of Pokemon.
Charizard?
Yeah. That's the big name of Pokemon. So the vintage stuff, that's high dollar. You're talking tens of thousands of dollars if it's graded and such. So
all right,
yeah.
So Preston, you have cards. You have a few cards down there, Preston. So what? Pierre.
Yes. Okay. So I have Caitlin Clark. It's a sparkle one. I pulled it from a $20 tin from Walmart, and it's the best pull for me because. I've been tracking WNBA since 2001, but WNBA has only been taking off here in the last couple of years.
With Caitlin Clark.
Yes. And so now NCAA women's are getting more traction with the NIL deals, and then now that's crossing over to the WNBA at the professional level.
Okay.
So NIL, name, image, likeness, that's really important because back in the day, all the way up until a couple of years ago, when you went to college and you played sports, you got a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
You got a scholarship to play, and that's it. You didn't get paid any other way.
Yep.
And so now it's pretty big.
Well, unless it was under the table.
Yes. happened, but like officially.
Yes.
Anyway, pulled that Caitlin Clark. I got it graded. You know, it's like about a $100 card, but it's really special to me because I pulled it. It's a parallel of her rookie card. I'll keep that forever. That'll go on to... my little girl, when she grows up, that'll be her card.
So what's the other card there?
Now, it is a Ricky Henderson, 1980. I can't remember the date. It's his rookie card.
Okay.
First of all, what's special about that? It's he's the all-time stolen bases leader, and multiple seasons over 100 stolen bases, which is significant because you don't see that every day. In today's time, you might see Ellie De La Cruz. He steals about 70 bases, or Acuna, he might steal about 60, 70. But this came from a time when they played the game for the love of the game.
Yeah.
They put everything they had into it. They got rid of the distractions. They played the game. I love that. That's what mentors me growing up. When I grew up in sports is to love the game, play the game.
Do you prefer sports cards? Is that your area of interest?
I do prefer sports cards. I do dabble in a little bit in Pokemon, TCG, One Piece, things like that. It's just it hits home with me because sports is what helped me get through school. It is what helped keep me on the straight and narrow and made me really try in school. It was something that to stay on the team, you had to get good grades. So I tried hard, and so today you have to be disciplined to be a professional athlete. Yeah. And so I try to carry that same thing in my professional workplace.
So, okay, let's get around to the card and memorabilia show that's upcoming. This is what you do, right? I mean, you put all your cards out there, you talk cards. This is special to me. We can trade these. Talk to me what it's like. The day of the car show, what's it like? Zeller or Preston?
Go ahead, Preston.
It's pretty neat for like when you see the younger kids come in there and they see a card and they're like, oh, nice. Would you like the trade for this? So I usually try to trade like the younger kids stuff.
Yeah.
Just so they can have something they really want.
Do you trade or sell or both of the above? Or
all the above.
All of the above.
Anything. Yep.
Yep.
What about just shooting the breeze?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is anything for sale?
I would say so. I mean, for the right price, you know, this card, it's a personal card. It'll be in my collection for a long time. But if somebody offered me the right price, I'd sell it.
Sure.
So I can, you know, I could go buy more packs and I could potentially pull another one.
Yeah. So that's really what it is. Now, are there, so we've talked about basketball and baseball and Pokemon. Are there other, like,
probably Magic.
Yeah. So I have a bunch of Magic stuff that I'm bringing to this show. I didn't have it at the first show, but I will have it for this one. A bunch of packs and stuff that you can open and a few other high-dollar Magic cards that I have in my own collection because I play Magic as well. So. Okay.
How many vendors are there?
We have 17 right now.
Okay. Is there still time to be a vendor?
Yeah.
Okay. When is the show coming up?
It is March 21st at 10 to 3.
That's coming up here pretty soon then.
Yep.
So you can still have time to get signed up. How do I participate? What's it cost me to participate in
it? Tables are $15.
Okay.
And just contact me.
You get your table.
Yep.
And then put your stuff on display and trade and swap and
buy
and sell or whatever the case may be.
Even if you want to just lay your cards on the table, you can do that too. Yeah. You don't have to have any fancy display cases, anything like that. You know, display cases are nice, but if you want to just lay some stuff out on the table for $15, that's about the cheapest table you can find at any card show. So anywhere. So.
Do you see this continuing on? Like you said, this is the second one, and it was pretty popular, right? First time around, see this going on?
Yeah.
So what's the card that you're looking out for now? What's the one that you're like, man, I would love to find that? Or do you not disclose that information?
I really want to open more of this One Piece, the newest One Piece stuff. It has a card very similar to this one, but it's more of it's about a $3,000 card instead of the $1,800 card. So I really go for the packs and opening more so than I buy the single cards.
Do you just go to the store and buy packs and then start opening? Is that how that works?
Yep. It's addictive, but it's fun. It's a hobby. It's just opening a pack. It's $5, $6, $7 at Walmart. So it's not too much, but it's exciting, the thrill of it. What are you going to pull? You might pull someone on the Bears. I love the Bears. So I'm originally from Illinois. So if I can pull something from a football pack, Bears related, I'm really excited. Yeah. I don't care if they're a star player or not a star player. Anything with Bears on it. Or sometimes I've opened One Piece with Zeller.
And Pokemon.
We get excited with different Pokemon characters that we pull, regardless of what level or evolution. Right. It's just excitement. So.
It's the artwork, too. There's a lot of really cool artwork, really. Yeah.
So how do you keep up with it? Meaning it changes pretty quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have new cards. Is there a website that you go to say these are the ones that are, I don't know, selling for more? How do you keep up with that? And when you get in that world, how do you keep up with it?
So there's several different resources you can use. For TCG stuff specifically, there's a website called TCG Player.
Okay.
And that one is a really good for, like, the raw cards, like his Mega Gengar there. That's really good for telling you the value of the raw cards. But when it comes to slabbed cards, graded cards, eBay is typically the best.
Okay.
And I don't know about sports cards, what you guys really use.
Pretty much eBay, but what you want to look at is...
And then you're just looking at what's it selling for.
Yeah,
right? Exactly.
Right.
So on eBay, you see sold listings, you see current listings, you see buy it now or auctions. You're going to do a lot of research, what it boils down to.
Yeah.
But what you want to look at is what's in season and out of season. Because if you're in season, your card's going to be up at the top. You're going to get your most value if you're trying to get that. And you want to buy out of season.
Uh-huh.
So like Patrick
Tricks
Mahomes.
Tricks of the trade here. Yeah. Take notes,
for
people.
Sports cards, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is hurt. He's injured. Yeah. He's going to be injured for a while. Buy his cards now. No one's thinking about him. So then when he does come back and he does win another championship, because he will, I believe he will.
here's a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Bears fan, but I believe in certain players. But right. He will come back, and then you will get your 2 and 3 times multiple value on that.
Okay. There you go. Little trick, right, to be thinking of. Okay, so you guys know more than I will ever know about cards. So I have to ask the question. The recent card that sold for $16.5 million.
Yep.
What was it? Why was that card so valuable, other than the owner of it as well, which drove the value up?
Yeah, a lot of that was the owner of the card, but it was the Pokemon Illustrator. It was a PSA 10. You know, I think a lot of that is just the hype from who owned it.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on that, but I don't know.
At the end of the day, it is the buyer. We, the buyers, are the ones that put the price on it.
Set the value.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, this is a real, you know, vintage can get really expensive. Mm-hmm. First editions can get really expensive. So some of those special things about cards, yes, that's going to make it go up. But at the end of the day, it's the buyer. If you don't have that specific buyer for that card, it will not go up. Mm-hmm. And you found a buyer for the card.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they found a buyer for
right.
the card. So.
So that was Logan Paul.
Yep.
And it was a Pokemon card, correct?
Yep.
And it set a record, $16.5 million, I think.
Yeah, I think it was already the record setter when he bought it, and then now he sold it, and it set a higher record. So he's got the Guinness record for the highest-selling Pokemon card.
So you heard that right, $16.5 million
right.
for a Pokemon card.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But again, his notoriety certainly doesn't hurt that value any
absolutely,
at all, right?
Absolutely.
So, all right, anything else we need to cover? Again, that show will be the 21st, March 21st, from 10 until 3. You can still get a table.
Yep.
How do people reach out? What do they do to get in touch with you?
They can call me. My phone number is 712-246-9388.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just get back to you.
You make it pretty simple, really, right?
Yeah.
Get your card,
super
15
simple.
Bucks,
yep.
And come
pay
in
your 15 bucks, and you now, got a table.
The day of, if I just want to come and peruse the tables, you just show up, right? You
right.
have to pay. Is there a
nope.
fee to
nope.
get in?
Nope.
All right.
And I think you're going to do some raffles again, are you, this time? Yep. So there's going to be some prizes if you want to buy some raffle tickets, and he'll have some prizes out there that you can actually win at the end of the show.
Very cool.
And,
all right.
We're going to have another show on the 4th. Of April as well. So it's going to be here back to back, you know, a couple weeks away. So I'd say start getting in contact for that show as well.
There you go.
But,
very cool. So the Law Dogs Card Memorabilia Show, Card and Memorabilia Show, call, get your table. It's at the mill.
At the mill.
If people are curious where that's at. Zeller Torres, Preston Lawson, and Pierre Taylor with me this morning. Where do we want to go from there, Zeller? What's next on the list that we need to touch on?
Well, I think we could talk about the arcade a little bit if you wanted to.
Let's tell me about it.
I counted them this morning. I have 32 games in the arcade.
I think
so
it was like 21 or something
was,
the last time we spoke.
Right. And I went down to Texas to visit some family down there and hit an auction while I was down there. So we drug up 2 trailer loads of arcade games. So added a few things there.
What's your favorite?
I don't even know. There's so many. What? You know, last night I just fixed this Moon Cresta cocktail table. It's a 2-player. You sit across from each other. You know, you're sitting down, so flat screen. That is a really fun game to play, especially if you have someone to play against. But that's probably one of my favorites right now.
Okay. You know, the cool thing about that is if you rent the space for your event, you can – that's all accessible to you for a very reasonable price.
Yep, and free to play on all the games. No tokens, quarters, anything like that. So we'll have it open during the card show here. It'll be all free to play. You know, I have a little jar up there that's free will donation if you want to donate to more games, because that's, you know, all the money's going straight to more games. So,
yeah. How do you even know? I mean, is there like, again, to find that and to know how to fix some of those old cabinet style games? What do you do?
It's a lot of tinkering with stuff and, you know, trying to identify circuits and how the different ICs interact with each other on the actual boards and everything. And that's what I did with that Moon Cresto is, you know, you probe around on it with a logic probe to figure out what's actually failing and replace it if needed.
That's cool. Very cool. So put that down on your list if you want to rent that space. Yeah. How many games did you say?
32.
32. And growing.
And growing.
All right. The mill? What's going on with the mill? Are we going to have markets or what's...
Yep. So I think it just got posted last night that we're going to start our first market on April 11th.
Okay.
So, you know, we're looking for vendors there. You know, you contact Margaret Brady either through the mill page or if you have her direct contact information, that'd be great too. I know she's got a few vendors already lined up, but the more the merrier.
Yeah. And she's also said many times in the past, if you just can't figure out, you can go to Healthy Tales Retreat.
Yes.
And contact, and then she can get that information
absolutely.
To you as well.
So. Absolutely.
Very cool. That's exciting to see that firing back up as well.
We're real excited.
What else do we need to touch on? What's the rest of your day hold today?
Well,
Zeller or Pierre?
We're sanding floors at a house, trying to finish up, you know, doing the final touches on actually Margaret's house is what we're doing. But, I'm working on a few things at the mill, getting ready for a card show, getting stuff cleaned up, tables set up, that kind of thing. Kind of a not too busy of a day.
There you go. All right.
Got a little bit of trim work to do. Yeah. Fitting some pieces, cutting those size, painting them. I got a screen door to put on. you name it, I got it.
Looking
I got
at
to
it,
do it.
All
so.
The finishing.
All that. That's I tell you what, that's a special touch that can finish. It certainly is. So. All right, what else do we need to touch on? Preston, anything from your perspective?
I think that's about it.
All right, Pierre?
Just remember, collect what you like.
Yes. Good
for
advice.
The sports world and the TCG. That way, no matter what goes up or down, you have your favorites in your pocket. So always be willing to trade.
Yeah.
Because you never know what someone will like that you have.
Yeah.
So trading... but, yeah, at the show, we're going to be buying, trading, and selling. So bring your cards, bring some cash. And then I can get lost talking to people forever about sports. So come by my table.
You guys are both shaking your heads.
We'll just talk sports and stats and everything. So
just a good time to go hang out, sounds like, and have a great conversation. Zeller, final word. What else do we need to be aware of?
I don't think there's much. I think this card show is really good for our community. It'd be great to have, you know, support from everyone.
Yeah.
Even if you're in another town, come see us. We want to see you there.
Very cool. Thanks for stopping by, guys. Pleasure to visit with you.
Yep.
I would put that in the special place and those in in your lockbox.
It's in my lockbox.
In your lockbox. Yes. Make sure that's $1,800. So just go ahead and forget that one
right there. Yeah, right.
Make it a great day, guys. Nice to visit with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Roberts, a Fremont County livestock farmer. What's remarkable about raising livestock in Iowa is each farmer may have a unique approach. However, the one constant is our unwavering commitment to the health and comfort of our animals. This means whether you prefer conventional, organic, grain-fed, or pasture-raised, you can feel confident each animal received top-notch care. Choices on the farm and in the store benefit everyone. But no matter what, animal care will always be a non-negotiable.
KCSI-FM, Valeska, Red Oak, and Atlantic, KOAK-AM, Red Oak, Glenwood, and Shenandoah. Thanks for listening to Country Sunshine Radio.